It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Heading into week 8 of the NFL season, Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak on Inside Black and Gold. And mired in a 5-game skid, Saints haven't won since week 2 of the season. Players keep falling off the planet. Maybe we get some guys back this week. But we did get word from Dennis Allen. If we do get the car back, it's still going to be Spencer on the center.
Yeah, he came out pretty early in the week and said that, which we can talk about that a lot more kind of later in this segment. I want to get through some of the news first, some of the stuff that's happened. But yeah, we're going to talk about Spence. They've been pretty straightforward about, like, we're not going to play games with this situation. We're going to tell you who our quarterback is, and we're going to tell him who our starting quarterback is, and we're going to go that way. And it's kind of refreshing in the sense that, you know, the whole, like, debate throughout the course of the week would be annoying, although it would give us something to talk about on the podcast, because we haven't really had an opportunity to have a spirited debate about who they should go with, which would require them not telling us on a Monday. But whatever. Anyway, we're going to hit some news in this segment. Then second segment, we're going to hear from senior offensive assistant Rick Dennison. He was on WWL this week, so we're going to play you that interview. Talked about the offensive line, talked about the run game, stuff like that, Trevor Penning, all that good stuff. Final segment, I want to kind of set up the next 5-7 games on the schedule. It's the part of the schedule that when you looked at it, when we went through it game by game at the beginning of the season, it was like, hey, if you can get here with, like, close to .500 record, you should be able to take advantage of this stretch and really kind of put yourself out in front of the division if you win a bunch of games, because there's a lot of winnable games in this stretch. It kind of feels like, hey, this is your last gasp of the season. Like, is the season done? Technically, no, but you have to seriously take advantage of this stretch of your schedule to even give yourself a chance. And nothing we've seen over the last month plus should make you feel like that's going to happen. But we're going to go through it. We're going to talk about, okay, what would need to happen for this team to kind of stay afloat, get back. Because, you know, we say this every year, no one's running away with this division. We saw the entire division get embarrassed this week. Someone tried to argue, oh, the Bucs didn't get embarrassed. Well, they were down 20 in the fourth quarter at home of a primetime game. Yes, the Ravens, they're my pick for the Super Bowl, but we don't need to glaze the Bucs. They did not play well in that game. and they are now in a very similar situation the Saints have found themselves in, because they're not going to have Chris Godwin. They're not going to have Mike Evans. They already lost Jamel Dean. He's on IR. So they're going to have to figure out how to win, just like the Saints are going to have to figure out how to win. The difference is they at least have their quarterback. But they're in a bad situation too. So, like, I think Trey Palmer's already on IR, so they don't have any receivers. Anyway, so we'll go through all that. But, you know, first things first, speaking of receivers, the Saints did bring in a receiver. Right. And he's a guy that Saints fans probably are familiar with, just because this was a guy that they were really looking at signing ahead of the 2022 season. But the Chiefs swooped in at the last minute, offered more money. And the Saints have always kind of been that team that's like, this is our deal. We're not going to get into a bidding war. If you have a better deal, go sign it. And he did. He signed with the Chiefs. He won back-to-back Super Bowls. Probably not complaining about that situation. But Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the guy I affectionately call Exxon Valdes-Scantling. So he was on the Bills this year. Wasn't really that big of a part of the equation. Then the Bills went and traded for Amari Cooper, so they released Marquez Valdes-Scantling, guy who has been kind of a deep threat in the NFL over the course of his career, played a lot of years with Aaron Rodgers. As always, you know, it's funny because if I had to comp him to anyone in the modern NFL, like the last 10 years, it'd be Ted Ginn, who the Saints also liked, the guy whose hands were very questionable throughout the course of his career, but had the ability to go downfield and make big plays, and that's something the Saints team needs because Rashid Shaheed is on IR.
Yeah, it was really puzzling to see, obviously, the drop off this season, at least in Buffalo. I know new scheme, new quarterback, you know, whole new setting for him. But what is it? Just two grabs on the year for Scantling. And you figure a guy like Josh Allen would definitely get a guy like him involved more. And obviously, when Cooper comes around for them, makes him a little more, I guess, disposable. And I guess to the Saints' fortune right now, because I'm not expecting, you know, fireworks here with this signing, but at least it gives you a veteran presence here in this wide receiver group that really does have a bunch of young dudes. Obviously, Cedric Wilson Jr. not, but, you know, there's just still a lot of younger targets you're relying on. And I see Scantling, at least someone that can bring a more mature voice to the group.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it is, okay, you kind of need a veteran presence in there. And, you know, it's also a guy that can make plays downfield. And, you know, as much as this team likes Mason Tipton, I just haven't seen him be able to do that. And
right.
you look at MVS, which is what I'm going to call him from here on out. MVS, solid, you know, abbreviation nickname. Can't hate it. But, you know, every year of his career, he has had a reception of at least 46 yards or longer. You know, so his long reception in 2018, 60 yards, then 74 yards, 78 yards, 75 yards, 57 yards, 46 yards. He can stretch the field. Again, the hands aren't perfect, but I think he's going to add an element to this offense that you need and you just simply don't have without Rashid. And so this is DA talking about adding MVS on the coach's show last night, chatted with Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert. And we'll have a few more clips from this throughout the course of the show. But this is what he said about MVS.
Yeah, well, look, he brings experience, number one, at playing the receiver position, you know, with Shahid being out and then obviously Olave in the concussion protocol. We felt like bringing in somebody with experience was something that we needed at the receiver position. He brings a speed element to the position that we lost with Shahid. And so we just felt like this could be a potentially good fit for us. I think it really just depends on how fast he gets in, assimilates, you know, into the offense, into the terminology, the things that we're doing offensively as to what his availability will be and how soon that'll be.
Right.
Yeah, and so that the question, part of the question was, hey, will he be available on Sunday for the game against the Chargers? I would bet that he is.
Kind of have to.
Yeah, and part of that is just because, hey, I'm mainly asking you to run go routes. Like, how you're not going to have him be a huge part of the offense, but it's not all that complicated to say, hey, bud, go run fast. You know, like, so if this was a slot receiver or someone you would have, like, significantly involved in kind of blocking schemes, right? I would say maybe you kind of keep him inactive this upcoming week and go from there. For MVS, I think it probably would make sense to play. And they had him in for a workout on Monday. He met with the coaching staff. Clearly all that went well. Clearly he passed his physical. He's in good shape. And, you know, he was just kind of phased out of the offense in Buffalo. He never really had part of that. And, right. You know, he hasn't, and that's the thing, he hasn't really been a volume guy at any point in his career. The most catches he's had in a season was with the Chiefs in 22. He had 42 catches, 687 yards, 16.4 yards per catch, two touchdowns. He did have a touchdown in the Super Bowl last year against the 49ers. So, you know, he has experience playing in big games. The Saints love themselves some former Chiefs. Like, we've talked about that. Like, they have a ton of former Chiefs on this roster. He's just another one. So, yeah, we'll see. Like, I'm not mega optimistic. I don't think he's going to change a ton for the Saints, but they needed some speed. They needed a downfield option and they got one. So you can't be mad about it.
And I mean, there's a little bit concern right now still with, you know, just hearing that Chris Olave also still just in the concussion protocol. Yeah. We don't quite know. No, you feel like it's, we'll be good come tomorrow kind of thing.
I don't know about tomorrow, but I expect to have him back. Like, I'm kind of just guessing here, but, you know, I don't think that, like, people here, oh, he's still in the protocol as of Monday. You yeah. have to go through a full practice. Part of the concussion protocol is you have to get through a practice before you can clear the concussion protocol. And you know what they haven't done since last week?
Practice.
So, like, there's physically no functional way for him to have cleared the protocol between Thursday and now. So I think people react to that. And maybe he is still having concussion symptoms, and it is an issue. But being in the protocol, just that information on its own is not a sign that things are going poorly. It's just he would be in the protocol one way or the other at this point. Well, now if he's not at practice on Wednesday, then that's a negative sign, because it's going to be, you really want to see either limited or full on that line. You want to see him out there, because if he's unable to get out there, that's a sign that he still has concussion symptoms, and right. the physicality of that workout will be a problem for him, and that will make it tough for that to change in the next 2 days and for you to clear. But I expect, it's been a while since he's played, right? Like, we're talking 2 weeks, because you had that short week, and he's gone through this before. He understands the process. That's not necessarily a good thing, but I expect to have him out there. And I think the Saints are going to get a few guys back this week. And that's when you look at the schedule itself, you have 10 days, so you should be the rested team. The Chargers played on Monday night, so you're getting the same situation. The Bucs came in with that extra rest, and the Saints played on a short week. Now you're getting that advantage. So I think guys that you could potentially get back, Taysom Hill, Chris Olave, Lucas Patrick, Cesar Ruiz, Pete Warner, that's a lot of guys. If you can get all those guys back in, and that changes things for you. Now, will it be enough? Is it going to change your fate on defense? I don't know, but you give yourself a fighting chance, I think. Derek Carr, he's progressed to throwing. He's been doing throwing sessions. He did one on Monday. He's scheduled to do another one on Tuesday, today, this morning. Like, he's probably already done it as we record this podcast. And I think that's kind of a situation where you're like, hey, okay, throw. We'll see how your body feels afterward. Throw again. We'll see how you recover from that. And then, you'll start to figure out, okay, how far out is he? I think the Panthers game in week 9 is probably a realistic target. But it's very, very unlikely he plays in week 8.
Well, I'm glad to hear with Olave, just because I figured with his past history with the concussions, I didn't know if it was taking longer for him to clear this time around. But that makes sense, though, of having to go through a full practice.
I mean, it might be. Like, we just don't know. And the thing is, like, just still being in the protocol at this point, it's tough. And, like, he's cleared in a week before. We've seen him have a concussion and play in the next game. The problem is, this last game was Thursday Night Football, so you really didn't have a chance.
No, you were screwed, right?
To even push that. So again, I'm just saying, like, I hesitate to say, well, he's still in the protocol, we should be concerned. It's really just kind of static. We don't know right now whether he's in, and the coaching staff is not allowed to share any details of that process. It's part of the NFL, rules regarding the concussion protocol. Like, the coaches will get fined if they give out any details in that vein, but we'll have to see. Either way, I expect to see several players back. And if you can get Chris back, and we can, we're talking about Spencer Rattler. We're going to talk a lot about Spencer Rattler in this segment as we go. That's what I want to talk about now. But, like, one of the things we have not seen Spencer Rattler with is Chris Olave. Like, they played 3 snaps together. He got hurt, fumble 6. And then that game felt like, man, we are climbing uphill the entire way because of that play. And it is a lot easier to be effective when you have kind of that security blanket of a guy who can get open quickly. And I think that's one of the big issues when you're a young quarterback and you're just like, you don't want to throw in these tight windows, but you can't necessarily trust guys to create early separation. Whereas Olave is as good as there is in the NFL at creating quick separation. And so I think that'll make a big difference for him, but we'll have to wait and see.
No, I definitely, you look at obviously with the offensive line, and then you're limiting Rattler with targets too. It's like clearly not set up for success for a young player. Shoot, even if Derek Carr does come back, he's got his own issues to be able to work through too with what the Saints have right now.
Yeah, and that's why I think, if you could get Ruiz back, if you could get Patrick back, you have the majority of your offensive line there. The only guy you'd be missing would have been Eric McCoy. He is technically eligible to come back off IR this week. He won't. He's probably still a few weeks out, but he's getting closer. We did see him out there. Hopefully if you can stay afloat, which that's a big if, you can get him back. You start to get some of these players back. Now, there are some players you're not getting back. Paulson Adebo is not coming back. Rashid Shaheed is not coming back. You're going to kind of operate like you did last year on the outside with in base reps, you're going to have Alonzi Taylor go outside and play the outside corner position. And then in nickel reps, you're going to have him play the nickel, and you're going to have Kool-Aid come on and play the outside corner position. It's how they operated last year when Marshawn was out, and they would have Ike Yadam be at the outside corner in nickel reps, and then Alante take the outside corner reps in base. So you're going to do that. But either way, so one of the things that Dennis Allen came out and said on Monday, again, you could have, if this was Sean Payton, I kind of feel like he would have slow played it. But I think one thing that the Saints are very, very cognizant of is we want to instill confidence in a young player. We do not want the quarterback, the young quarterback who we've empowered to be our starter, to feel like we are just waiting for the first opportunity to pull the rug out from under him.
Yeah.
Because, and I think there's value in that. Like if you're committed to a guy, be committed to a guy. Now, if I'm Jake Haener, I'm kind of annoyed because you told me, hey, this is a even footed battle. And like the one chance I got to go on the field, I did as well as you could have possibly done. You could say it's garbage time. I would say the entire second half of that game was mostly garbage time. But either way, this is what, you know, DA kind of said in his press conference. Hey, we are going with Spencer and, you know, kind of left it at that. Talked about, hey, he's done some good things. We have to pass protect for him better. This is what he said on the coach's show with Bobby and Mike last night.
Now, you know, Coach Allen, when you look at, obviously, the trigger man, the quarterback position, Jake Haener, he comes in there. He threw four passes, completed three, but it seems like, okay, I'm going to be a professional. He threw a nice touchdown pass. And whether Derek Carr is available or not, is it maybe, okay, Spencer Rattler, here's another opportunity for you. You're going to have like a mini bye to get ready to go against the Chargers, and then Jake Haener's kind of in the bullpen? How do you handle that considering you just got to try to get production on offense when you start a Derek Carr is out? But could it be a 1-2 maybe punch or combination with Rattler and Haener just trying to get the offensive quarterback position playing at the highest level?
Well, yeah, look, I think you're right. I think Jake came in and did some nice things there at the end of the game. I mean, you know, it was a really good job of him getting us into the right check and maxing up the protection to take advantage of the blitz and throwing the touchdown pass down there in the red area. So I was pleased with what we saw there. I think, you know, in particular, when you're talking about a couple of young quarterbacks, you know, both of them need as many reps as they possibly can get to be able to go in there and be effective. So I think it's hard to go in and say, hey, we're gonna play both these guys, and they're going to get a certain amount of plays or reps or whatever the case may be. Look, I've seen a lot of really good things that Spencer's done. I think we got to do some better things around him. I think his supporting cast needs to help him out a little bit. And I think he needs to you know, continue to improve. There were some things that, like, just understanding when you're going to be hot and then don't take a bad play and make a bad play worse. So those are some of the things that you deal with a young quarterback. But then I see him create things with his feet. I see the very first play of the game, we get a boot out to the left-hand side, you know, and we get the edge cut, and he presses the edge and makes a great pass down the field, and we create an explosive play. And so we got to be able to be more consistent, you know, in being able to do those things. And look, the quarterback needs to play better, but I think the players around him need to help him too.
Yeah, and I think that final point is the one that DA is kind of leaning on when he sticks here. It's like, hey, when we have done well around him, when the supporting cast has played well, Spencer has played well. When he's kind of been let down by his offensive line, by some of the pass catches, dropping balls, right? Then and things have gone poorly, but and the stats bear that out. Like, I looked this up according to PFF. So when you've kept Spencer clean, when he has not faced pressure, he's 37-52, 71.2%, about 300 yards, touchdown, interception. That interception was the throw to Shaheed, where he just didn't get it out far enough. And it was still the right read. He just didn't deliver it probably where it needed to be delivered, and it got picked off. Zion McCollum made a nice play. That was the interception. The touchdown came on a play that he actually got blitzed but didn't face pressure. That's why it's an interesting statistic, because like that's the Bucks did blitz, but that snap with the touchdown goes down as a non-pressured snap, which is just kind of funny. It's almost like, hey, if you pick up a blitz, it's you're in an advantage, and the Saints just don't do it often enough. When he's been under pressure, 10 of 23, 43.5%, 117 yards, interception, 11 sacks, right? He's been sacked 11 times through 2 weeks. And so part of that is the offensive line. And like D.A. said, part of that is the quarterback understanding, hey, there's a free rusher. I got to get this ball out hot, right? And that's what happened when I pointed out after that first blitz, that sack fumble early in that game, you can say, hey, that's on the offensive line. It's not really. The offensive line wasn't trying to block that guy. Like, that guy was not in the protection plan. You understand as a quarterback, if that guy's coming, we have no one to block him. Either I make a miss or I get the ball out hot. You can't stand there and just get hit from behind. And that's what happened. So that's kind of a young quarterback learning thing. And so I think the kind of the idea is, hey, we're not going to just say, you know, well, you've struggled in your first two starts, or we did nothing for you, and now we're going to go with the other guy. We're going to trust that you're going to learn from these things. The issue with kind of trying to evaluate week seven after week six is you didn't really have time to make corrections after week six, right? Like, you kind of just played a game, struggled, had like one day to go over the film, played another game, kind of did a lot of the same stuff. So you hope that with a 10-day window and some actual time to install a game plan, that you will see some of these corrections take place. And so I don't expect Derek Carr to play. There's some people out there who seem to think, hey, he's going to make this miraculous recovery. I don't buy it. I think they're getting ready to play Spencer again. And we'll see how it goes. I'm rooting for him. Now, the issue with that last game is the Broncos really didn't blitz that much. And it was still a problem. And that was on the offensive line. But when Spencer's been blitzed, 16 of 30, 53.3%, 126 yards, touchdown, interception, and five of those 11 sacks have come on plays where he's blitzed.
Yeah, I give definitely props to the team for giving Spencer still another shot, because I figured for sure, honestly, for me, that, all right, you know, you saw a little something from Haener at the end of the game, plus, you know, it looked like Rattler got dinged up a bit. I think it's what, a hip flexor, they called it.
Hip flexor.
And maybe, you know, give him a rest going into this matchup and let, you know, Haener try at it. But it seems Rattler's good enough to go, obviously, and they're sticking with him.
Yeah, the health isn't an issue. I think it was more like he was just kind of gimpy. He'd been hit so many times in that game, and you just save him. Like, it was, you were not coming back. The only things that could have happened in that game for Spence were bad. And so, yeah, and you could have gone both ways, right? Like, you could have kind of slow played it and said, hey, we're gonna kind of evaluate this. But the problem is, you know, you got to get him, whatever quarterback you're going to start, you got to get him all the reps in practice, because he needs all the reps he can get, whoever you're playing. And that's why, like, Bobby's question was kind of like, he's like, oh, do you consider playing both guys? Do you consider, hey, if you throw this guy in here, if he doesn't got it, you go to the other guy. The problem is, like, you're talking about young players who need every single rep you can give them in practice ahead of these games. So you'd be doing them a disservice by saying, hey, we're going to split these reps up just in case we have to play the other guy. It's like, no, it's really not how it works. You just got to pick whichever one you think gives you the best chance to win and go with it. And clearly they think that Spencer gives them the better chance to win right now. And, you know, he's also kind of the guy that you're developing, right? Like, as much as they want to say, hey, we like both guys, clearly they like Spencer better, right? Like, you can say all offseason, hey, we like both these guys. We feel like they both have a chance to succeed in the NFL. We want to develop them both. You have made a statement that you are developing Spencer. And so I at least appreciate the conviction of, like, once you make that statement, you're going to stick with it. Because the worst case scenario would be, hey, you go with Spencer for two games, he struggles. You go with Jake, he struggles too. And suddenly you just kind of are flat. Like, you don't even, now you not only do you not have any wins to show for it, you are actively like saying, we don't got anything.
Right. We have nothing at quarterback.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that Spence can kind of pick some things up. My only issue is I, you know, like it's funny, like one of the things that was so jarring about that final drive is, like, you saw Jake go in there and make a check. And I'm like, whoa. What's that? What's he doing there? I didn't know that was like, oh, what? I didn't know that was part of the game plan. You can adjust like the play at the line. And I don't know, maybe he did that unilaterally. Maybe the coach wasn't happy about that. I don't know. Cause it was strange. It was like, that's not something I've seen happen in 2 weeks. where like he saw the coverage and then he was just like checked out of it into something else, and it worked. Maybe he caught the defense off guard because they weren't expecting it. I don't know. But you know, that's the one thing that I worry about with a young quarterback is how often is he getting fooled by the coverage, and how often is he getting fooled by the pressure looks, and is he making the right checks, the right reads? And it's impossible to know. Like, you can only know if you have the call and you're watching it back on film and you know what people are supposed to be doing, whether they executed or not, whether the back, you know, messed up his protection, whether he got the rule wrong, whether he was supposed to come out this way and he went out the other way, whether he was supposed to check and, you know, kind of give a hip and then get out as a release. I don't know. But you got to be better, because 11 sacks through 2 weeks, like you're going to die if you take 5.5 sacks a game. Like, you will not make it through. Like, we see all these injuries across the NFL, a lot of quarterbacks going down. Jaden Daniels got hurt. You know, like the Raiders lost their quarterback. The Deshaun Watson, you know, like a lightning bolt came down and wiped out his Achilles. Injuries happen. You got to protect your quarterbacks, and we'll see how that goes. I didn't mention Derek Carr's hurt. Like, guys get hurt, but you can't be taking 5 sacks a game. So they got to figure something out.
No, I think we've talked a lot about it. Just the injury plague this season has been just brutal to teams. Tampa's caught up to the Saints.
Yeah, there's really no rhyme or reason to it either. It's like we can say it's only the Saints, and the Saints, it seems like the Saints are more heavily impacted than a lot of teams are. But I mean, yeah, you watch that Monday night game and it's like, geez, these guys are dropping like flies. And it's nothing the medical staff can do to say like, hey, don't dislocate my dude's ankle right now. But geez, like it's this league, you know, one of the struggles the NFL has is it's like they're trying to improve player safety. And they do that by taking away practice time, by keeping guys off the field. And you just have to wonder if that's actually making it worse, and because their bodies are not ready. And like it over the course of time, like you're going to look at it and be like, man, this is a problem because none of our stars are out here for the big games. And the money is made on the stars. Like, no one shows up. No offense to Bub Means, but no one's showing up to Thursday Night Football to see the Bub Means show. Right.
Except Mama and Papa Means.
yeah. I mean, like, I love me some Bub Means, but that's not who you're there to see. Like, I want to see Chris Olave. I want to see the stars. And, it's a problem. And the NFL is going to have to figure it out because it's not going well.
No, and, you know, obviously us being centered on the Saints, it seems like there's just been this huge target just on them. But man, oh man, especially this weekend of just getting to kick back and watch a ton of football, not having a Saint Sunday on tap. You just saw like, oh, another one goes down and this one. It's like, it's been ruthless in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that is that was nice. Not nice isn't the right word, but like there was some nice perspective gained by being able to kind of just right. Go around and watch some of these games. Cause they're like, all right, I guess the Saints aren't alone here. Like, it seems like every game I watch, someone very important to their particular team is getting carted off the field or, you know, out for the game, or Debo Samuel has a tummy ache. I don't know what's going on with him. Like,
right.
It's one thing or another. Brandon Ayuk went down. He's done for the year. Like, yeah, man, it's brutal out there. And we're not even halfway done with the season. We'll see how it goes. But all right, let's hopefully the Saints can, you know, maybe they got their bad luck out of the way early. And then, because that's why, like, we're going to talk about the upcoming schedule. One of the reasons it's like you should feel like, hey, you should have at least some chance if you play good football, play the football you're capable of playing, to take advantage of some of these matchups, because a lot of these teams are in the situation you've been in.
Right.
You think the Browns are looking at their schedule being like, ah, we got this. They're trying to figure out how they can avoid playing Jameis at this point. That's what they're trying to figure out.
Yeah, my one wish for the season might come true where the Saints end up playing Jameis.
You're going to end up playing Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston in the span of 3 weeks. Although Andy Dalton feels like he's hanging on to that job by a thread. Like, what's the point? If you're going to lose all your games anyway, why not just let Bryce lose them?
I have no idea what the Panthers organization is thinking in general, obviously.
It made sense when he was winning a game or two, but like now it's
not. Now it's like, yeah, what's going on? Yeah. What are you doing, guys?
So we'll see. But all right, let's wrap up this segment. We're going to come back. We're going to hear from Saints senior offensive assistant Rick Dennison. I had to think about his title for a second there. It's got a weird title. He's basically managing the run game, managing the offensive line, helping John Benton, helping those guys kind of come up with a plan. He's been working with Clint Kubiak for a long time. So he chatted with Bobby and Mike Haas. They went through a lot of that. So we'll come back. We'll play that interview. This is Inside Black and Gold. Stick around.